Narben sind unser Tagesthema heute bei D-Radio Wissen. Und seinen Körper künstlich durch Narben zu verschönern, zum Beispiel indem man da reinbrennt oder reinschneidend, Branding oder Cutten, das ist in unseren Breitengraden eher eine Entwicklung der vergangenen Jahre. In einigen anderen Gegenden der Welt ist diese ganze Geschichte ein ziemlich alter Hut. Lars Krutek ist Anthropologe, bereist seit 20 Jahren die Welt, um die sogenannte Skarifizierung zu erforschen. Also nennt man das, wenn man seinen Körper künstlich mit Narben versieht. Ich habe gestern mit ihm telefoniert und wollte als erstes von ihm wissen, wo ihn seine Reisen schon überall hingeführt haben.
Well, from a scarification standpoint, I've done some research in West Africa, in Benin, but also other parts of Africa, so Mozambique and Ethiopia, and I've also traveled to Papua New Guinea, and I've actually been scarified in all of those locations myself. So I've witnessed it, but I've also been a participant.
Also er war in Benin, er war in Mosambik und Äthiopien, in Papua-Neuguinea war auch und überall, wo er war, hat er seinen Körper auch selbst skarifizieren lassen. In Germany or the United States, scarification is mostly about style. What's the point for people in Africa or in Papua New Guinea?
The skin tone in most of the groups that I've worked with, you know, is very dark skin, so tattoos don't show up so well. So scarification is a better signal because it's this bolder and it's, you know, something that you can see. It also has texture to it, something that you can feel. So there are many signals that can be indicated with scars. But the places that I've traveled to, mainly it's for status, adornment, you know, beautification. And some places there are concepts that are, scars are believed to promote one's fertility or virility. There are also other therapeutic types of marks, almost like vaccinations, like certain kinds of bush medicines are put into these little cuts, usually a pair of small cuts placed on a particular body location where you might have some kind of injury. And then, of course, probably the main marker of scarification is for tribal identity.
Also Tattoos sind einfach nicht so gut sichtbar auf der dunklen Haut von den Menschen in Westafrika oder eben Papua-Neuguinea. Deshalb sind Narben ein deutlicheres Zeichen und dann auch noch eins, das man fühlen kann. Oft geht es darum, eine Rangordnung anzuzeigen, aber auch Schönheit spielt eine Rolle. Das, was ich eben als Style bezeichnet habe. Kraft, Jugendlichkeit soll transportiert werden. Manchmal wird aber auch Medizin über die Narben in den Körper eingebracht. Am allerwichtigsten allerdings ist die Narbe, um die Zugehörigkeit zu einem Stamm auszudrücken. Ich habe da nochmal nachgefragt, ob das Ganze im Rahmen eines Rituals passiert oder wie ich mir das vorstellen kann.
In most of the places that I have witnessed scarification, it is ritualized 100%. In some places there is an elaborate seclusion, like in Papua New Guinea, amongst the Kaningara tribe, which is in the Sepik River Valley or Basin. It's a really elaborate ritual where men are secluded for 2 months in a men's house, and they learn a lot of about oral history, mythology associated with the ritual itself, but they also have a lot of taboos that they must follow, and if they don't, they're severely punished for not following them. And then at the very end, after being deprived of sleep for many days and nights, then they're ultimately scarified, and probably one of the most bloody rituals I've ever seen. And we're talking thousands of body scars, and some people have even died undergoing the ritual.
Fast überall, wo er war, war die Skarifikation Teil eines Rituals. In Papua-Neuguinea zum Beispiel ist das Teil eines aufwendigen, mehrtägigen Rituals. Die Männer, die werden für 2 Monate von der Außenwelt abgestirmt, leben da nach strengen Regeln und nach mehreren Tagen, in denen sie Schlafentzug bekommen haben, werden sie dann in einem blutigen Ritual, dem blutigsten, das Lars Krutek je gesehen hat, skarifiziert. Dabei sind auch schon Menschen gestorben.
We know cutting or we know branding. Is that the method that they used to?
In New Guinea, after they finish the ritual, they infect these cuts and then they wash off the scabs for about a month to 6 weeks afterwards. So through infecting them, more or less, or they put this river mud in them and infect them and then they rub or rip the scars off, it leaves these giant keloids that are, you know, really large. I mean, like as big as, you know, a euro or something. And they're very, very textured. Whereas I wasn't able to do that, nor would I mean, maybe I would have tried, but because the time was in the essence, I had to leave. So mine almost look more like knife cuts versus, you know, these really beautiful contoured textured marks that these men wear, that the sensation of actually touching them, you know, it's almost feeling like you're touching the back of a crocodile.
Also geschnitten wird auch, aber vor allem die Nachbehandlung ist wichtig. Die Wunden, die werden immer wieder geöffnet, der Schorf immer wieder runtergekratzt. Zwischendurch wird da noch Flussmatsch reingeschmiert, damit die sich immer wieder entzünden, damit die Narbe dann immer riesiger und dicker wird. Er hat Narben angefasst, die sich wie Krokodilhaut angefühlt haben.
You already told us you wear a lot of scars in different styles yourself and you got them in all the countries you travel to. Which one was the most painful method?
Definitely the Kaningara skin cutting ritual in Papua New Guinea.
How does that work?
Well, how it works is they used to use bamboo knives, but they dull out very quickly, as you can imagine, and so they've moved to disposable razors in the last 20 or so years. But more or less, I received about 500 of these chest cuts with a razor blade, and because you're deprived of sleep for, you know, 4 or 5 days before the actual cutting takes place, your body is sort of desensitized to the first 20 or 30 cuts. And then suddenly, especially when they're cutting around your nipples, your body wakes up. And then you ultimately feel like your whole chest's on fire. And there's this blood everywhere. It looks like a battlefield. There's bloody buckets of water, rags, pools of blood. You hear men gasping and moaning. It's definitely the more pain. I would take a 5-hour tattoo over 30 minutes of scarification, we'll put it that way. It's much more painful and difficult to get through.
Am schmerzhaftesten war auf jeden Fall dieses Ritual, dem man sich in Papua-Neuguinea unterzogen hat. 500 kleine Schnitte im Brustbereich. Die ersten 20, 30 merkt man kaum wegen des Schlafentzugs, den man vorher bekommen hat. Aber dann spätestens, wenn es Richtung Nippel geht, wacht der Körper auf. Überall ist Blut, es sieht aus wie auf einem Schlachtfeld. Kurz, er würde sich lieber einer 5-stündigen Tattoo-Prozedur unterziehen als einer halben Stunde Skarifikation.
Which method leads to the most beautiful scars?
Well, I would say just because that method for me is, for the scars have shown up, they're more apparent than in the other places. Mainly because just the vast number, I have 500 there, maybe I received a few hundred in Benin, but those are just below my navel. And you can only really see them in the proper light. They're very delicately cut in. But I would say there, then again, my skin doesn't keloid as much as other people's, so it doesn't quite show up, like it doesn't keloid to these giant scars that you would see in tribal members of the groups that I've worked with.
Also bei sich findet er schon die 500 Narben auf der Brust am schönsten, einfach weil man die gut sehen kann. Grundsätzlich aber vernarbt seine Haut nicht so wulstig die von den Leuten, mit denen er zusammengearbeitet hat.
So you wouldn't say that there is a connection between the most painful and the most beautiful scar?
No, not at all. And again, it's all obviously the technician. So, you know, there's some, I've witnessed some scar masters that are not so steady with, you know, their movements and others that are and very rapid. So it's really, you know, who you put yourself, like whose hands you're actually in really amounts to, you know, the best work, I'd say. But the Beta Maribe, they have these really fine scars that are placed in the, like I mentioned, on the faces of children. And it's almost like it's a fine fabric that you can only really see the inner workings of it in the proper light. So you have to sort of move their faces and hit, the sunlight has to hit their face in a certain way to actually see it. They're just so fine. You could probably walk by somebody and not even notice that they have them.
Also es kommt auf die Technik an, in wessen Hände man sich begibt. Eine besonders beeindruckende Technik zum Beispiel sieht man auf den ersten Blick gar nicht. Da muss man den Körper in einem bestimmten Winkel zum Licht drehen, um überhaupt etwas von den Narben zu erkennen. Lars Krutek war das im Gespräch hier bei D Radio Wissen. Er ist Anthropologe und bereist seit 20 Jahren die Welt, um die sogenannte Skarifizierung zu erforschen. Also Menschen, die ihren Körper künstlich mit Narben versehen.